In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this morning, is taken from Genesis chapter 32. Allow me to read those verses for you at this point. So we read, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. The man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God's face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" This is God's word. So as we continue this series called Mind the Gap, where we're taking a look at just some of these lessons, these topics in God's word, where maybe there's a gap in our understanding, a gap in our faith, and we're seeing what it means for our lives. And this evening, or this morning rather, we're going to take a look at the life of Jacob as he wrestled with God, as he wrestled with other people in his lives. And I pray that as we look at Jacob's life, you and I, we can see ourselves in Jacob. As we look at his wrestling problem, we're going to see that, you know, there's three things about us as well, that we also have a wrestling problem, how we diagnose that problem, or misdiagnose it rather, and then finally, the peaceful solution. So those are the three points we're going to look at this morning. Let's start out with just the wrestling problem that we all face, that Jacob faced. Now, part of the problem with just reading those verses that I just read to you and looking at Jacob's life, just with those verses, is that you don't get the whole picture of Jacob's life. Right? This moment in Genesis 32, this was a very climactic moment in Jacob's life. There was a lot of events that led up to what was happening. And this is really a high point, really important point in Jacob's life. And so it helps to understand what it is that led up to this point. So if you just allow me just a couple minutes to kind of recap what it is that led to Jacob being here at this point where he's wrestling with God. As I mentioned in the children's sermon, Jacob was a twin. He was the younger of the two twins to Esau. And as he was born, as I mentioned, he was born grasping the heel of his brother Esau. And that's just a good picture of what he would be doing the rest of his life. He would be wrestling with his brother, wrestling with all kinds of other people in his life, all kinds of his relatives, just not seeming to get along with them very well. It started at an early age when he was a young man. The Lord came to Isaac and he told Isaac, you know what, you're going to give the family blessing to the younger brother, to Jacob, rather than to Esau. And that was extremely uncommon. Usually the family blessing, the double portion of the inheritance was given to the older brother. And God said, nope, do it the other way, give it to the younger brother. Isaac didn't want to hear it. He liked Esau better. And so he was planning on disobeying God and giving the family blessing and that double portion of the inheritance. He was planning on giving that to Esau and going against what God said. Now Jacob, he knew this, and so he decided to take matters into his own hands. He decided he was going to figure out how to get that blessing for himself. So when his father was old and when he was planning on giving that blessing to Esau, he told Esau, go out and prepare for me a meal, and then after the meal I will give you this blessing. Him into giving him the blessing. Right, Jacob, he deceived his father, he deceived his brother, and he got what he wanted, right, by taking matters into his own hands. But when Esau found out, he was furious. And he promised he was going to kill his brother. He was going to murder him. Jacob found out, and so he left. He took off. He ran away. He went to his mother's family, hundreds of miles away. He ran away to get away from his brother. But as he was there, it seemed like his wrestling match with people continued. As he stayed at his uncle Laban's house, it seemed like he and his uncle just didn't get along. His uncle deceived him, tricked him time and time again. Jacob did the same thing time and time again. They just couldn't get along. And after 20 years, the Lord said, enough's enough, you're heading back home. And he told Jacob, it's time for you to go. So Jacob, he packed up all his things. He packed up his family. He took all of his children and the two daughters of Laban, his uncle, without even telling him, he took off. The fighting and the wrestling match continued with his family. Laban, he took off after him, thinking he would get back at him, but God didn't let him. And that's where we actually are in our text in Genesis chapter 32. We're at this point where Jacob is on his way home to see his brother, this man he had been wrestling with his entire life. This brother who the last time he saw him 20 years earlier vowed he was going to murder him, put his own brother to death. So what do we see from Jacob's life is that Jacob had a wrestling problem. Right? He was constantly fighting with his family, getting into spats, getting into wrestling matches with those that he was closest to. And friends, maybe that's true of you as well. Right? There's no way that we all get along with every single person in this world, right? There are people in this world, in our lives, that we fight with, we can't get along with. Maybe you saw it in the newspaper just this past week at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. There's a terrible thing that happened, right? Three people shot, one run over outside the gate at the Minnesota State Fair. And if you read the article, you'll see that, you know, as these people, they all survived, I believe, as they were in the hospital receiving treatment for their wounds, their families were there by their sides, and the family got into such terrible fight, such terrible altercation, that the police had to come in and pepper spray them to stop them. How is this possible that at such a place like the Great Minnesota Get-Together, it's supposed to be about family and community and happiness and joy, and they can't get along. And there's all this fighting that's going on. Well, what we see in this family, in this story, what we see in Jacob is really true of our own hearts as well. That we have hearts that are restless, that are constantly fighting, constantly getting into altercations with other people. Friends, that's true of you and me as well. We've got these hearts that are constantly wrestling. And if that's the problem, then how do we fix it? Well, the first step is diagnosing the real issue, the real problem in our hearts, and not misdiagnosing it. Take a look at how Jacob diagnosed the problem in his life. Right? As he was heading back home, just before our text, we're told that he sends ahead of him a few servants to just go check and see what it looks like, to see, just kind of gauge the situation, see how Esau was doing. And this is the news that he gets back. It says that his servants came back and said, "We went to see your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." 400 men. Not the news that Jacob wanted to hear. Right, this man who promised to kill him 20 years ago, and he hadn't seen since, is now coming to meet him. And his family, his 11 boys, his wives, his servants, all his possessions, he's coming to meet him with 400 men. Pretty terrifying. Jacob had to do something, right? He had to take matters into his own hands, and so he did. He prepared for the worst. He divided his family up, right, into two different groups. And he sent one part of his family one way, another part of his family another way. And he thought, you know what, if Esau is going to attack one part of my family, just maybe the other part will escape. Maybe the other part will stay safe. And then he did something else, too. We're told that he sent waves of gifts to his brother. And I'm not talking about, like, little gifts, like a Christmas gift where you're saying to your family, okay, but there's got to be a $20 limit on it, right? No, these gifts were enormous gifts. These were inheritances that he was giving to his brother, just enormous amounts of wealth that he sent wave after wave after wave to his brother, thinking maybe this will put him at ease. So he did that, divided his family, sent them off, and he was all by himself. And he was all by himself, and in the middle of the night, you can just imagine him just kind of pacing back and forth, thinking about what's going to happen when he meets his brother, thinking about how he might attack him, how he might fight him, and thinking about what he might do to beat his brother, how he might overpower him, how he might beat him in a match, in a fight, in a wrestling match. And as he's thinking about this in the middle of the night, how he might beat his brother, then when he least expects it, some stranger comes up to him and attacks him, and they fight and they wrestle the whole night. I find it interesting that they wrestled the whole night. Right? The only way that two people fight and wrestle for an entire night without one of them winning is if they are perfectly matched, right? Is if they have equal power, equal strength, and they are this perfect match, something that you would expect from twin brothers. And as Jacob is fighting this strange man who he's equal with in strength for the whole night, something strange happens as the light begins to break. This man, he touches Jacob in the hip. And it says that it wrenched his hip. Probably a term that means that he dislocated Jacob's hip. Now, I found that interesting, that this man, who was apparently of equal strength with Jacob, he simply touched his hip and it dislocated it. Right. I had to do a little research on it because I wanted to see just what kind of force it took to dislocate a hip. Right. And I never came across a moment an article that said someone's hip got dislocated in a wrestling match. No, the most common reasons for dislocating a hip are car accidents and falling off a roof. That's the kind of force it takes to dislocate a hip. And yet this man who was wrestling with Jacob all night, all it took was just a touch, right? It doesn't say he grabbed and yanked. No, it just a touch to his hip and it dislocated it. Now, what does that mean? That means that this man who had been wrestling with Jacob this whole night, he had obviously been holding back. He had been limiting himself, limiting his power and his strength. And in this moment, the reader and you and me and Jacob, we all learn the very same thing, that this man that Jacob was wrestling with really was God. And the irony of it is that that's the person that Jacob's been wrestling with his whole life. He thought maybe he was getting into fights with his father or his brother or his uncle. He thought they were the problem. He thought that's where the real wrestling match was. But all along, Jacob had been really wrestling with God, wondering to himself, God, why did you give me this father you gave me? Why this brother that you gave me? What about this uncle who keeps on tricking me and deceiving me? Why did you give me this guy as my uncle? God, your plan is not shaping up the way you said it would. You're messing things up, God. I'll take matters into my own hands. I'll handle it. You see, all along, Jacob had misdiagnosed the problem. He thought the problem was with these other people. And the real problem was that he had been wrestling with God the whole time, trying to take matters into his own hands, trying to shape God and fashion his plans for his life. Into these spats, these fights in our life, there's people in our lives that maybe we don't get along with, and maybe we say, you know what, that's just their fault. They're just bad people. Right? Or we maybe say, you know what, it's our personalities, they don't mesh. It's like oil and water, we just don't get along. And we think it's just a human problem. But oftentimes we misdiagnose it. Oftentimes it goes back to our relationship with God, and underneath we're wondering, God, why did you put this person in my life? God, why did you give me the parents that I have? Why did you give me the siblings that I have? God, why did you make me the way that you made me? Why did you give me the gifts and abilities that I have when so-and-so has so much better gifts, so much more ability than me? Why didn't you make me more like that? Oftentimes we're wrestling with God, telling him that he messed up in his plans for our life. You know, that's why we fight with people. That's why we lie and we cheat and we manipulate. It's because, ultimately, we're really fighting God and his plans for our lives. And if that's really the problem, that we've been fighting and wrestling with God, then how do we solve that? What's the peaceful solution to wrestling and fighting with an all-powerful God? Well, take a look at the resolution that came in Jacob's life. You know, as we look at Jacob, after God had touched his hip and basically disabled him, you'd almost expect Jacob to say, okay, you win, I give up, uncle, right? You win. But it says that he kept holding on to God. He kept holding on to this strange man. And it says that he even said this. He said, I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. You see, Jacob, he was completely disabled. He was all on his own now. Right, that injury that God gave to him is probably an injury that stuck with him for the rest of his life. And if he was going to face his brother now, he absolutely had no chance at beating him in a wrestling match. He had no chance at beating him in a fight. And that meant that Jacob was completely dependent upon God. And so Jacob was no longer fighting against God in this match. Now he's fighting with him. He's saying, God, stay with me. I'm not letting go until you promise me that you're going to bless me. And then he says, and tell me your name. In other words, he's saying, prove it. Prove to me that you are who you say you are. Prove to me that you're going to do what you said you would do. You see, for Jacob, the peaceful solution came when he stopped wrestling against God and he started wrestling with him in prayer. And that's the case for you and me. The peaceful solution comes to our wrestling match with God when we stop fighting against him and trying to mold him and shape him and manipulate him and tell him, God, this is the way it really should go for my life. And the peaceful solution ultimately comes when we realize that God is not going to destroy us for all of our sins. God gave that peace to Jacob as he blessed him and sent him on his way. And thankfully, God has given that same peace to you and me. You see, when God came to Jacob, he came in a way where he limited his power, right? He didn't come in all his might and strength and destroy Jacob. And that's the same thing with you and me. As God sent Jesus into this world, Jesus came with limited power. He limited himself and his power. He didn't come into this world with all his might and all his strength and all his fury because of our sins to destroy us. No, he came into this world as he limited his power to battle against God in our place. And as he went to the cross, that's exactly what Jesus did. He battled God in our place. And as he hung there on the cross, God, he brought down all his might on Jesus. Right? He didn't just touch his hip and give him a little injury. No, God brought all his anger and his fury and his might against Jesus for our sins. And he destroyed Jesus on the cross. And as he did that, that was God's grace to you and me. That was God's way of showing you and me that we have peace with him. That he had forgiven all of our sins. Friends, do you see what that means? That means that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter how our life goes in ways that we don't expect, we can trust God. We can trust him because he has secured for us an eternity in heaven. We can trust him. And knowing this, there's so many applications for our life here and now. Let me just touch on a couple of quick applications of what this means for us here and now. First off, Jacob, he didn't really recognize his problem until God had wounded him. Right? It wasn't until then that Jacob really realized what his problem was. As I mentioned, Jacob probably carried that wound with him for the rest of his life, and yet that wound that he carried with him was a wound of God's grace. How was this a wound of grace? Well, at least two reasons. First off, this wound that God gave to Jacob in his hip was far less than he deserved. Jacob had been fighting against God his whole life, basically saying, God, you're messing things up. I'm going to handle this. Going against him the whole time. And for that, God really should have used all his might and destroyed Jacob, but he didn't. Instead, he limited himself, and he only wounded him. He gave him far less than he deserved. So this wound was a wound of grace for that reason. And then there's another reason. Secondly, this wound reminded him over and over again that he was stronger when he was weaker. Right? When he began to stop relying on his own strength, on his own wisdom, and instead just put his trust in God and God's plans for his life, Jacob, that's when he was even stronger. These wounds are wounds of grace, right? So that's the first point. Wounds are a sign of God's grace. Do you have a wound from God? What is your limp? Maybe it's a physical or an emotional wound that God has given to you. Do you realize that this is a wound of God's grace? That this is a wound that God has allowed you to have to bring you closer to Him, to make you stronger by His side. These wounds are wounds from a friend. They're wounds from a loving God who can be trusted because He laid down His life for you. So the first point is simple, friends, wounds from God are a sign of God's grace to you. And then the second point is this. When you and I, we find ourselves in relationships that are in turmoil, where we're fighting somebody, oftentimes we view that person as the enemy, right? They're the problem, they're the issue, and we maybe attack that issue and that problem. And maybe that's what that person does too. They view you the same way, you're the enemy. And they wound you. But remember this, that when people wound you, it's a sign that they need God's grace. Right? As Jacob kept on fighting with other people, it was a sign that he really had a problem with his relationship with God. And when people treat you this way, it's really a sign that they have a problem in their relationship with God as well. So treat them that way. Treat them with love and respect and forgiveness. Treat them that way because that is the way that God treats you. Right? For all the wounds that you have caused your God, you're the one who has driven Him to a cross to die with your sins. You've wounded Him, and yet He treats you with peace and love and forgiveness. And because He treats you that way, friends, treat others that way as well. You know, the divisions and the fighting that we have in our lives, it all often stems back to our relationship with God. But thankfully, the fighting that we have with God, God put an end to it. Right? He put an end to it by putting an end to His Son. Right? By putting Him to death on a cross in our place. In doing so, God has given you peace for eternity. So friends in Christ, carry that peace with you. Carry that peace with you your whole life. Carry that peace into all the relationships in your life. Amen.